All right, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Thursday, March 21st. Fuck it. It's a raw feed. We're doing it live. I'm Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. Clayton, I mean, let's admit it a little early. We're rolling early in the week on this weekend preview episode. I got places to go. I'm going to La La Land. I'm going to Hollywood for a little bit of a siesta, and then hitting up Vegas, which we'll talk about that on the next Kirk exclusive episode of the BO Boys on the Kirk Minahan Network, because that's where, you know, the caution tape is off and we could say whatever and we could talk about what happened in Vegas. It doesn't stay in Vegas. It goes on the Kirk exclusive channel, the BO Boys, but
no rubbers, no rubbers over there.
No rubbers. So anyway, we're taping this weekend preview early in the week, so we're flying blind. And I'm not just saying that because Clayton is wearing his trademark dark shades. We're flying a little blind early in the week, but we're going to figure out how these movies are going to do. We got some big movies coming out this week, or at least one big movie and then a Sydney
Sweeney. We got one big movie. Well, we got one big movie and one big star.
Okay, well, let's get into it. I mean, Ghostbusters are back. Frozen Empire. So they've figured out, these ad wizards have figured out that what people have always wanted from the Ghostbusters franchise is for it to get really cold. And that is what this movie's premise is promising, that it's finally in a Ghostbusters movie, things will get cold. So listen, we're both Gen Xers. We're both childs of the 80s.
I'm not sure.
We're Ghostbusters kids. When you were,
an extreme Ghostbusters kid, I was the real Ghostbusters kid.
Nope. Stop you right there. I was Ghostbusters.
I was Ghostbusters with the gorilla. That's how Gen X I am.
Were you the Ghostbusters where they're in space? Because I think that's what I watched, where they were in space, where they would get their suits put on a conveyor belt. Was that the real Ghostbusters cartoon, or was that the fake Ghostbusters cartoon?
Well, there was the fake one, which is the Gen X one, and then there's a real one, which is, I guess, still Gen X, but... Yeah, definitely awesome. Extreme Ghostbusters is what you're thinking of. That is the one that you are a fan of because you are a millennial.
Listen,
you answered the call. I didn't answer the call.
We both answered the call. Come on. We were there. We answered the call. So when we were kids, did we always say, I like the Ghostbusters, but I wish things would get really cold? Do you remember saying that?
I think I've said those things independent of each other because I think we agree. The one thing we don't agree on what generation each other is, but we can agree that we both love cold weather. Anytime it's a nice day outside New York, meaning sub 60 degrees, we always say perfect weather, but it could be 10 degrees cooler. So we always want it to be colder.
Right.
But I've never said, I want my Ghostbusters to be colder.
Right. Well, we're going to find out if that's what we wanted all along, because that is what the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is about, is that things get cold. I mean, or have you dug in a little further? Is there more to this Ghostbusters than it gets cold in New York? That is it. They're saying it gets cold.
It gets cold. But here's the thing, Pat, and we've been criticized for sort of dunking on franchises and IPs that we don't like. And we're not critics, huh? We are supposed to be being honest about what we think is going to do well at the theater, obviously. Yep. But we shouldn't be playing favorites.
Now,
I will say, you know, you're gently giving Ghostbusters Frozen Kingdom the business.
Okay. One could surmise that. Yeah. Taking the piss.
Having a laugh. Yeah. But what I'll say about it is at least it's not the same old thing.
Okay.
There is, and I'm not saying that this is going to be a plus. It's not necessarily Ghostbusters plus cold means Bafa Bobo. Mm-hmm. But at least they're doing something different. They're not doing here's another ghost that just does this thing. I mean, adding an element of this being an Ice Age situation at least is a different wrinkle. So I will applaud them for that. They very easily could have just did another retread, and then, you know, they're adding back in the original Ghostbusters that are still living and breathing, and they're making it a big team of everybody who's ever been a Ghostbuster, right? Because they're throwing everything at the wall.
Yeah.
Which is what you need to do at this point, because you got to get the oldsters, you got to get the youngsters, if they even exist, who are fans of Ghostbusters. So I do think adding this sort of almost serialized situation where it's like, oh, this movie, it gets cold. Next movie, is there a heat wave? Next movie, are they upside down? It's almost like they're doing the X-File, an X-File situation where it's like, you know, here's a new thing each time.
Right. I mean,
which I will applaud.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, I'm always happy to see you being positive, and you're being very positive on this premise, which is that New York City has a cold front coming in. But they are, you know, the real promise of this movie is more of the throwing everything against the wall for nostalgia purposes, which is, it seems like this movie is promising Bill Murray is actually going to be in it. And
he's
Ernie
engaged.
Hudson's actually going to be in it.
And he's engaged in the material. That is a big thing to get Bill Murray to do, is engage with the material. And from the trailer, it looks like he's, I wouldn't say not phoning it in, but he's a little bit more into the conversation over the phone.
Yes. Well, listen, some could say he phoned it in on some of his greatest performances. You know, I mean, Bill Murray phoning it in is Meatballs. You know, Bill Murray phoning it in is possibly the first Ghostbuster. So it's not so much the phoning it in on set. You kind of want a little bit of Bill Murray phoning it in front of the camera. I think what is interesting about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Bill Murray, is he's promoting the movie. You know, he was
big
on the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show, one of the mayonnaise men. He went on there and went on in his Ghostbusters costume and sat on the couch with Ernie Hudson and talked about the old days. And he I think he was singing the song in different places. Like, Bill Murray is out there this week and last week promoting a Ghostbusters movie. And this is a guy who wouldn't sign on to do a part three back when everyone on the original cast was alive. You know, he wouldn't do a Harold Ramis version of Ghostbusters sequel 20 years ago, but now he's yucking it up with Jimmy Fallon in a Ghostbusters costume.
Well, he said he would do it back then if he was dead, right? Wasn't that the caveat he had?
Yeah, that was a thing, which I think was in different versions of the script. I mean, I think it's more that Bill Murray never really wanted to do a Ghostbusters sequel back.
So
in
he
the
made
day.
It. He pitched ideas that made it impossible for, you know, it to be the story they wanted it to be. I will say, and not to get mired in the sort of internet discourse, as they say, which used to be called just a conversation.
Right.
There were the stuff that happened with Bill Murray getting kicked off a movie and all that rigmarole.
Right.
That he may be doing some damage control. His people, and even though he supposedly doesn't have an agent and all that stuff, he has a phone number.
Yeah.
He's got somebody. He hired a crisis manager, and they said, hey, you got to go on one of the mayonnaise men. You got to put on the suit. You got to look non-threatening. You got to look like you are a nice person and a caring person, because there is things out there that are making you look like you're not that, right?
Yes.
I don't know the validity of the stuff. I'm not going to say that it did happen or didn't happen. I, you know, whoever said whatever, I do believe, you know, when people say things happen to them. So I just don't want to get into that, because that's not important.
But Bill Murray's been back on his heels the last couple
of so years. The reason he's doing this is not because he loves Ghostbusters.
Right.
It's because he needs to do this to save his career. That's my belief.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that Bill Murray's PR people, his crisis team, they ran the numbers, and they said, if you want to restore your reputation, get past these accusations, you're going to have to put on the proton pack and yuck it up with the mayonnaise men.
Yeah.
And, you know, if his crisis team had told him, we ran the numbers and you've got to go, you know, get back in the Caddyshack outfit, or you've got to put on the wig from, you know, Kingpin and do Kingpin 2. You know, if they had told him that, he would be doing that right now.
Or strap himself to a boat. Be like, I'm sailing, I'm sailing. Yeah, what about Bob him?
What about Bob? Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, when you think about Bill Murray's career, as big of a star as he is, there really aren't any other movies where he would have the opportunity to do a sequel besides Ghostbusters. Am I missing something? I mean, I guess the people who own the rights to Meatballs would be happy if Bill Murray said, I want to do Meatballs 5, Meatballs 6, wherever they left off. But yeah, it really is just Ghostbusters in terms of big franchises. You're not doing Scrooge 2. You're not doing
quicker change.
I mean, that's what I would love to see, but that's not what the crisis management team suggested for him. You're not doing The Man Who Knew Too Little or The Man Who Knew Even Less. Yeah.
Too little.
Yeah.
So, but I, you do. I mean, obviously, you mentioned like Meatballs and Caddyshack both had sequels that didn't involve him. So yep. He's been in franchises that went off without him.
That was
the directed VHS craze that Meatball jumped on.
Right. They were American Pie Presents before there was American Pie. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen every single one of them.
Yeah. So Dan Aykroyd is really the beneficiary of Bill Murray's bad press and accusations from a few years ago, because now he's able to get a fully engaged and promoting Bill Murray in a Ghostbusters movie, which has always been Dan Aykroyd's dream.
Yeah. And now, Pat, so we were talking off mic at BOHQ. We were by the
water cooler. We were parched. Cheers.
And you said you saw this trailer, I believe, before Bob Marley One Love.
Yes, I did.
And you said, I want to see this.
So, and here's what it is. It was the more engaged Bill Murray. As I watched that trailer and I saw how much Bill Murray was in it, I was surprised. That, you know, that's the thing. That's the, I do think that is what this movie, if it has anything going for it, it has the fact that Bill Murray looks like he wants to be in this in a way that he obviously didn't want to be in that final 10 minutes of Ghostbusters Afterlife a few years ago with the ghost Harold Ramis. That was the most terrifying thing in any Ghostbusters movie. You know, and he obviously didn't want to be in Ghostbusters 2, and he didn't want to be in the video game. He didn't want to answer the call and that, you know, it finally looks like Bill Murray is doing a Ghostbusters sequel and he wants to be in it. So that was interesting.
Bill Murray did answer the call. I just think he was in it for a very short time.
He did. He was in it, but he obviously, he didn't play
his character. Yeah. He didn't play the same character.
Yeah. And I think the other thing about this, trailer for Frozen Empire is that Paul Rudd was able to be very charming in a couple of sections. So here's what with these new Ghostbusters movie, Afterlife and now Frozen Empire, are these Paul Rudd movies? Is this going to be a Paul Rudd movie? If you're a Paul Rudd fan, you know, you're a Role Models fan, you're a Wanderlust fan, you know, you're
the object of my affection fan.
Yes. You're a Stella Schwartz fan. Is Frozen, because Afterlife was not really a Paul Rudd cut and loose doing his thing movie. He had a couple of, you know, scenes that I think he was able to get his stuff in. But do we feel like Frozen Empire is going to be a Paul Rudd movie, or does that even matter to an audience?
That's a great question, because, you know, Quantumania was a disaster. Mm-hmm. It really tipped the scales towards people despising, or at least strongly disliking, superhero movies.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think that falls on Paul Rudd.
Oh, he left that unscathed.
And
one of the most important bombs, I think that's something for me and you to sit down when we do eventually write the book of box office. Mm-hmm. Just how important of a bomb Ant-Man Quantumania was.
Yeah.
Just the reverberations that have been felt since last February are massive. Mm-hmm. And yet, yes, Paul Rudd got no flack for that, no backlash, and nor should he. We're not saying he should have.
No.
But to be the star of such a, you know, Heaven's Gate level bomb, honestly, where that movie collapsed the studio and Quantumania has kind of collapsed the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Ant-Man, the title character, and it does not matter for him at all. That was impressive.
So I do feel like there is going to be goodwill. I mean, I think people want Paul Rudd to succeed. I think that's mm-hmm. a feeling that most people have. Yeah. It'd be very weird to talk to somebody who says, I hate Paul Rudd.
Yes.
Because you could be, his comedy's not my thing, but to have animosity towards him feels very odd. So I do think this is going to be a showcase for him, a showcase why we like him, a showcase is why he got Ant-Man in the first mm-hmm. place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that this is going to be more of a vehicle for him because he's going to be a full-on Ghostbuster at this point. He's got right. the suit and the proton pack. I think people are going to be excited about that. And it's going to be fun to see him sparring with someone like Bill Murray. I mean, yeah. imagine those two having a loft together. Having that is loft. Something yeah. that is interesting and appealing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that has to be the hook of this movie. I mean, I think you nailed it too, where they're going to start the movie as Ghostbusters, you know,
mm-hmm.
Afterlife was one of those weird, you know, this is how it happened movies where for 90% of the movie, people don't know that there's ghosts around. They're discovering what a Ghostbusters are. You know, we're 45 minutes into Afterlife and the kids are watching YouTube videos of who the original Ghostbusters were.
Mm-hmm.
At least Frozen Empire gets you past all that. We haven't seen this film, but we know they're going to start with all the characters knowing what ghosts are. So that's, I think, an improvement. You know, the thing about a sequel is a lot of the box office for a sequel depends on how much people like the last one.
Yes.
And I'm not sure. I don't think Afterlife was a movie that was disliked, but I don't think it was a movie that created a fervor where people became Ghostbusters fans because of how much they loved Afterlife. So I think that's probably one of the things that Frozen Empire is going to be judged on is, do people want any more of this stuff if the last movie they saw was Afterlife a couple of years ago?
Yeah, and I'm seeing the estimates and you know, some people who are prognosticating the opening weekend for this film, and a lot of them are falling a little under or at the same number as the first one.
Yeah.
So my thought here is that there is a group of fans, hardcore fans, that like Ghostbusters mm-hmm. as an IP. They have fabricated their own proton pack for Halloween.
Yes.
They've made custom made a jumpsuit with their name on it.
Yep. Yep.
They've
and
done
those are
these
great
things.
People. Yeah.
No comment, but what I'll say is that there is fans of this and
yeah.
it seems to be 40 some million dollars worth of those people, at least
yeah.
in the opening weekend, because
yeah.
that opened the reboot or what was it called? No, Afterlife. I'm sorry.
Afterlife,
it's,
the requel.
Yeah, it's a requel. It's a requel.
Yeah.
In 44 in its opening. Mm-hmm. And this one is estimated to make on the high end, at least from what we're seeing from Pro Box Office, is like 45 or so.
Right, right. I mean, Answer the Call did 46 million.
Yeah.
When it came out a few years before. So these movies.
Yeah, that terrible bomb that made $46 million in its opening weekend.
Right, right. And yeah. did exactly as much as Afterlife did in the end as domestic box office. Obviously,
yeah,
Afterlife came out November 21. It's still COVID-y times. People weren't back and all that, blah, 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 blah. But
that goes to show you that. It's steady. Yeah, it's steady. And, you know, and of course I'm being facetious when I'm calling that a bomb, because if this movie does that, if this movie does Answer the Call, then this is a successful movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what you can expect from a Ghostbusters movie now. And so I think this is not going to get newbies in, but it's going to keep those people who will just go see Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It's not going to get newbies, I think, partially because has the young cast that they add in Afterlife, has anyone there popped bigger since they've become a Ghostbuster? No. You know, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace. McKenna Grace was the actress from the It films, right? And then Finn Wolfhard is a Stranger Things kid.
McKenna Grace. I don't think she's it.
She's not from It. Okay. So either way, I don't think that the additions that they made in Afterlife, the young cast, have blown up. There's not a Zendaya situation where since one of these actors became a Ghostbuster, now they've become this giant star otherwise. I may be missing something, but I don't think Finn Wolfhard is bringing a ton of new fans at this point. He's a steady presence on Stranger Things, but I don't think this kid is going to be this breakout box office draw at this point.
If anything, he would have brought people to the last one. Yeah. That's when the heat was big. I do think that a lot of them are struggling.
Yeah, we don't care that they're struggling.
So, I think that is going to be holding steady. You know, it doesn't really matter that he's in the suit or not. It's just going to be, you know, are people ready for another go around with Slimer and the proton packs and things like that?
And that's been the promotion. You could tell, like, the trailer is very much focused on the nostalgia, not the new kids. Paul Rudd gets more screen time than the new kids. Carrie Coon kind of gets more screen time than the new kids. Bill Murray obviously does. So it's clearly become a nostalgia play because the young cast they added hasn't really popped in a major way. You know, Podcast, the character of Podcast from Afterlife, I don't think popped the way that they hoped he would.
And you saw that happen with the new Star Wars, those sequels. Yep. Where they tried to introduce the new generation. Everybody said no. So they just brought everybody back.
Right.
Scream, again, you know, not to talk about something. It's something we talked about on our first Kirkxclusive.
Right.
The Scream franchise that had a big upheaval. Before that happened, they were set to be able to eliminate all of their old franchise players.
Yes. Yes.
And go with a new cast completely free of that baggage, and they fumbled it. They fumbled it, but it's really the only franchise that's been able to do that. Ghostbusters will not do that. Ghostbusters will need to have the legacy characters.
Yes. Yes. And they weren't able to luck out and cast a Jenna Ortega. When they recast for Afterlife, they didn't land someone. Finn Wolfhard is not Jenna Ortega.
I mean, if they would have gotten Jenna Ortega instead of McKenna Grace, then this movie, this sequel, would make way more than the first one did.
Yes, yes, yes. And maybe Bill Murray would have had to pay to be in the movie to get his PR tour going. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll get to our predictions. Just you know, taking the analyst hat off for a second, are you personally excited to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in the theaters?
Not at all.
Get to see Pat Naughton? Really? Not at all.
Oh, you were just about to say something. You're just about to poke the bear.
Yeah. I was about to poke the bear. That I just wanted
as
to know.
As soon as you said Pat, and I knew you were poking the bear.
I just a little poke, you know. I want to ask the bear, are you excited about the idea of seeing Patton Oswalt on the biggest screen possible?
No, huh?
All right, that's all I wanted to know.
I'll tell you what. if we're taking off the prognostication hat and we're going sure. back to audience member, which is what A-lister, audience member, movie.
That's how we started. Yep.
He is a deterrent for me.
Oh, wow. So you're not a big fan.
No, I'm the opposite of a big fan when it comes to that gentleman. And there's also another member of the ensemble that I also will not pay to see.
Okay.
And that's Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And because it didn't happen. And I'm over it. So
you're over it.
But those are not value adds.
He's still roided out. Isn't that an important part of being in a Ghostbusters movie?
And good for him. And listen, this is me as a
movie. We assume. Some people assume. Who knows? It could be all natural. It could be steak and broccoli. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think for me as a moviegoer, those two people are a deterrent for me to want to see a movie. So I'll skip it.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to see this weekend. We'll give our predictions later, but we're going to see if the promise of Paul Rudd and Bill Murray could overcome the threat of Patton Oswalt and Kumail Nanjiani being in the movie. So we'll give our prediction on that. Clayton, there's another movie coming out this weekend. There's a horror film starring Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney is back. You know, she had Anyone But You, huge, incredible leggy run, popped into Madam Web, and she just skated right past that. She skated past that. She didn't even have to go on the, you know, weird Dakota Johnson, jokey in quotes, you know, promotional tour where she made fun of the movie. She just took the high road and just completely pretty much avoided Madam Web.
Well, she did make one joke in her monologue on SNL where she said, "And you probably didn't see me in Madam Web." And that's all you had to say. She also did a really good interview where she said, "Hey, sometimes you just take a job. That's what we do." Mm-hmm. And that sidestepped everything. She didn't have to say it was a piece of shit, it was a mess, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
We've all taken jobs that didn't work out the way we wanted them to work out. And that's what Sydney Sweeney did with Madam Web. And you can't blame her for taking that gig.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Madam Web added to her stardom in the sense that the public, we saw her with this huge victory in Anyone But You, and everyone loved her in that movie, and it was a big hit, and we were excited that her star was rising. And then Madam Web happened, and I kind of feel like the public felt some sympathy that she had to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I think Madam Web helped her. And again, she didn't do it in the way Dakota Johnson did, where it was just a nonstop, look at me, I'm above this tour.
Yeah.
Which some people liked and others didn't. But Sydney Sweeney, I think, gets some sympathy. We've all been there, like you said, we've all had a bad job. So I think Madam Web doesn't matter. Immaculate kind of feels like her, this is the follow-up to Anyone But You.
Yeah. The problem being, though, is that it's a neon release.
Yeah.
And Ferrari. Where are you seeing promotion for this, Pat?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this thing is going to not hurt her. It's going to keep her in the conversation. But this is not a worthy follow-up to a smash hit.
If this was an A24 horror film, I think we'd be having a totally different conversation. If A24 had acquired this instead of Neon, then we're talking, is this a Midsommar situation?
Yeah, you know? I mean, depending on the quality, but we would assume the quality would be higher because it's A24.
Exactly, which, I mean, maybe is why A24 didn't end up acquiring the film in the first place, and Neon did.
She is in a grace period where I think everybody is sort of rooting for her, except for extreme haters.
Mm-hmm.
And this will just be another, oh, did you see that nun horror movie she was in? Yeah, it was pretty, it was fine. You know, she didn't embarrass herself. Like, good.
Right. It isn't a movie that she made before anyone, but it's a movie she made before Anyone But You came out. So she'll be judged more on the next few films she makes, because those will be the movies she's making yeah. after Anyone But You has already come out and been a hit. Those what are the roles she's setting up. Yeah.
What is she shooting right now? That is yes. what's important. That's the most That's important, important thing. They're not going to say, oh, Immaculate, that sucks. I'm off the Sydney Sweeney train. It's going to take right. a lot more than that to get people off of that train.
Right. And I think if Immaculate doesn't do well, it'll be because of a lack of awareness of the movie more than a rejection of the movie. Mm, people yeah. aren't even going to be aware of it in order to reject it.
Yeah, 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 so, yeah.
I do wonder, though, if her star power coming off of Anyone But You and her goodwill and the fact that she is the lead of this will be enough to have it overperform where the expectations are. You know, is this a the way something like the Man in the Iron Mask overperformed so much in the wake of Titanic? Mm-hmm. You know, that Leo being in a movie, being the lead of a movie, no matter how bad the movie is, no matter how inferior it is to the previous movie, it's just people want to buy a ticket because it's them above the title. Like, could Sydney Sweeney just, it's a small movie, but she is the lead. She's in every frame of this trailer. Is this a movie that could do double digits just because people want to see a Sydney Sweeney movie? Like, will this be out there enough?
I don't think so. I mean, the benefit that it has is horror.
Yes.
Because when we talk about some of these small movies, you know, Lisa Frankenstein, even though it like
that's not horror.
It's not horror. It's horror comedy, which is always a tough sell.
Yeah.
But then you look at, again, Drive Away Dolls. You look at,
I mean, that's not horror.
But I'm talking about smaller movies like, American Society.
Right.
Those movies just tanking so terribly. These small, not really promoted movies tanking terribly.
Right.
The benefit that Immaculate has is that it's a horror movie. And we know from being friends with Brett from the New Flesh podcast, hashtag mm-hmm. horror lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Horror fans know every horror movie coming out. They know the streaming movies coming out on Shudder. They know the movies that are coming to the theater. So that's the benefit. I think, you know, regular moviegoers are not slavishly waiting for the American Society.
Right, right, right.
Right. So I think right. that is what this has. Will this do double digits? I don't think so. That would be, I mean, if this thing makes it to a 10 or 11, she is a way bigger draw than I even think.
Right. The awareness is going to have to come from just her promoting it on her own social media.
Yes.
And that could be enough. I mean, this is going to be such a great test of her star power, because yeah, if she could get this to 10 million, which I mean, I do feel like that's possible because it is horror. What is the last true horror hit we have had? I mean, this year has not had, it's not had a Megan, you know, it's not had a Talk to Me yet.
Mm-hmm.
The time is now for something to hit as a horror movie. We just haven't had that yet in 2024, unless I'm missing something. And if she could get the awareness of this up to the young people, you look at that trailer, it's got the jump scares. She's in every frame of it. Her as a nun is a hook for sure.
In a habit, yeah.
It's not really art horror, or at least the trailer doesn't present it as this. It presents it as she's going to get bloody. She's going to get chased. Things are going to pull her backwards into a confessional box. You know, there's horror all over this trailer. So if young people are aware of it, I do think they're going to go. I think Sydney Sweeney in a true horror film is a draw, but it all comes down to, do people know this exists?
And they don't. They don't. Not in a wide way.
Yeah.
I mean, I just went to her Instagram and I didn't see.
I did as well. I didn't see. Yeah, it. Yeah.
And I didn't see. Yeah. I'm glad that we both had the same idea.
Yeah. 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 When it looks like we're not paying attention to each other, it's not that. We are doing something very important, which is looking at Sydney Sweeney's Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that means I'm for all times, it. Even when we're not talking about Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. Yeah. I see her. posing in front of, it looks like a big big Sephora ad.
Mm-hmm.
Her in front of a Sephora store, which I'm sure is important to her bottom line. Well, no, here we go. Okay.
But I'm it's a few photos down.
Yeah, I'm seeing this from one day ago, a post in which she's posing outside in front of a series of outdoor billboards for Immaculate.
Okay, well, that's big then.
And this has over 1 million likes. That photo has over 1 million likes. And then you scroll over past that, and it's a clip from the set where her face is covered in fake blood, and she looks like she's having a great time. It's a behind-the-scenes short video. So she's promoting it. No, here we go. A few posts down, it's a picture of Sydney Sweeney, but the caption is Immaculate, March 22nd. So she's doing, and there she is on the red carpet for Immaculate, and she's standing there, and she's surrounded by a bunch of nuns in red masks. So actually, no, she is promoting this film on her Instagram. And that's probably the most important marketing that could be done right now for this movie.
Pat, this is a great segment of the show where Pat describes Sydney Sweeney's Instagram posts.
Yes.
I think that we're going to get a big spike, you know, on the YouTube video where it's most rewatched. Will be that.
Yeah. No, that's going to be huge. And that's a year round segment that we could do. It doesn't matter if it's time to a release of a Sydney Sweeney film. It's just me describing her latest, grid posts. I'm not going to go into stories.
No. It'd be hard to do play by play because they go by so fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not going to make our predictions yet, right? Because we want to dip into the mailbag very quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm having a feeling that you're going to go over on this. You're going to go crazy on this. I feel like you're going to get nuts without even asking if I want to get nuts.
I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to get nuts. That's very possible that's going to happen. But you should ask me. I'll ask you. I'll ask you later.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. I'll ask you before I get
that's
nuts.
All I want is for you to ask me if I want to get nuts.
Yeah, I will ask that, but that's a little tease because I'll ask that later in the show. Do you want to read some emails?
Yeah, why don't you start?
All right, so we've got a lot of great emails, of course. Thank you to the Wannabeo Boys, Wannabeo Girls, Wannabeo People.
People.
Email us at theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Let's see. So let's get into this email from Wannabeo Boy Max. Hello, BO Boys. My name is Max. Just listened to your excellent first Kirk exclusive episode on YouTube and wanted to point out that we could be living in the midst of a Patrick Dempsey renaissance. You mentioned how it's very likely he'll be returning for a role in Scream 7. He also had a major role in Eli Roth's Thanksgiving and also a minor but memorable role in Michael Mann's Ferrari. Dempsey was also named Sexiest Man Alive last fall and is a legit race car driver in his personal life. Do you think we could be living in a Dempsey renaissance? Thanks, Max. Clayton, are we in the midst of a Patrick Dempsey renaissance?
Yeah, I mean, did he ever go away? I mean, I guess a little bit. But
yeah. He was in Enchanted.
Mm-hmm.
A renaissance, I think a renaissance back to the level where he had been before, which I'd still say no.
I think he's you have to hit low lows, and he's not hit low lows. It's not like he was doing a ton of direct to PVOD action movies, and then all of a sudden he got these things. I mean, this isn't Mickey Rourke getting The Wrestler. This isn't McConaughey walking through the rom-com desert and then finding, you know, gold in Dallas Buyers Club.
Right.
Nobody's saying Patrick Dempsey is a fool or Patrick Dempsey has wasted his talent. He's always sort of been having spikes of interest and then just a sort of flat plateau of working.
Right. I think the thing is he's always been fine and he continues to be fine. And
according to people, he's fine.
He's fine. I think the sexiest man alive thing.
That's all PR. That's all payola.
Yeah, and it's the fact that they had to put out an issue at a time when everyone was on strike and didn't want to promote anything. And I guess he had something like Ferrari was one of those movies that you were allowed to promote. I forget the rules of that, but there were a few movies that I think got some exceptions.
Yeah.
And he was able to say, yeah, put me on the cover and I'll promote something. I think that was the case. So it's basically, if it wasn't for the strike, Patrick Dempsey was not going to be your sexiest People Magazine sexiest man alive in 2023.
Yeah.
It was a technicality that he still considered that sexy. But yeah, I'd agree. It's not a renaissance because he is maybe at a slightly higher level than he's been in a few years, but not much higher. And he was never low enough to really get a renaissance.
No. Yeah,
but
I agree.
But good
agree.
For him. He was good in Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. He was good in Thanksgiving.
And he'll probably be back for Thanksgiving too.
Yes. Yes. Got this email from wannabe oh boy Reed. Mm. And it says, Boots on the Ground report, Love Lies Bleeding from the Stacks. That's the subject. And Reed writes, went to go see Love Lies Bleeding on opening Friday night at my local Regal Theater. This was the interaction. One for Love Lies Bleeding. Huh? One for Love Lies Bleeding. What? One for Love Lies Bleeding. Sir, what movie do you want to see? One for Love Lies Bleeding. What movie? So at this point, I said, fuck it. Sorry, it's a raw email, and check the Regal app. Yes, I was in the right theater and at the right time. I physically showed her the app with a movie description. She eye-rolled me and got her manager. Her manager looked at my phone and Regal unlimited me a ticket. So this movie had played 3 times on Thursday, twice already on Friday, and the woman who sells tickets had no idea it existed. I was the only one in that showing. No Earth Dogs, no Plain Billies, just me. Needless to say, when I was the only one there, I thought, well, besides that worker is an idiot, is that this movie is going to bomb. Love the show. Read. And then P.S. As for lesbian crime films, preferred Driveway Dolls. So lot to unpack there from Reed.
Yeah. So, okay. To start out, we don't know the situation with this person who worked at the movie theater. I'm always on the side of the worker.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I'm sure Reed is too, but he was frustrated.
Yeah, and I can see the frustration. Experienced it. Yeah. I can see the frustration there. But the fact that this young person, I'm assuming young person, did not know that this movie existed after it being out for a few days is pretty bad. And I do think that's the thing, is that this has to take off in the stacks for it to be a hit. Uncut Gems took off in the stacks. Everything Everywhere took off in the stacks. The big A24 movies took off in the stacks. And I just don't think this movie will take off in the stacks in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, the viral tweet by Ben Salami.
Ben Salami. Yep.
The great Ben Salami, who we've had on our second Kirk exclusive. So check that out on the Kirk Minahan YouTube channel.
Yeah,
it's available now, and it's blown up the internet. You've heard about it already. I mean, us saying it again is sort of like, yeah, everybody's told me about this.
Yeah, yeah. By the time this podcast airs, the Kirk exclusive with Ben Salami about the Love Lies Bleeding drunk guy who
jacked himself to sleep.
Yeah, that's already the talk of the internet, of course.
Yeah, so that's its only chance. So I do think that Reed is correct in that it doesn't look good right now, or at least when he went to see the movie, things could change. And we talked about on last episode that we're going to keep an eye on this Love Lies Bleeding and see if it gets the bump.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty damning that he was in an empty showing on opening weekend, and theater workers creating buzz, I think, is an underreported part of movies taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want to have that. You want to have those theater workers passing you in the hall, talking about a movie that they saw, you coming out of it, and them almost congratulating you for seeing the good movie, for seeing the movie that's got the buzz amongst the theater workers. So them not knowing it exists is a sign that it's not going to get the buzz from the theater workers.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I went to see this movie, 10 a.m. on a Friday, opening weekend.
Yeah.
I was meeting somebody, but they weren't there yet. So I went in to get my, you know, to get my app scanned by myself. And the older gentleman saw what movie, recognized it, because of course it's East Coast. You know, they understand it.
Yep.
He said, first thing he said was, I can't believe what Kristen Stewart did to her hair. She had such nice, luscious hair, and I don't know what she's thinking. Now, I don't agree. I don't agree with the assessment. I like the haircut. I like the look.
Right.
But that was the comment I got. Not, oh, it's really good, or it's really bloody or gory or thrilling. It was, what's the deal with the haircut? So if you're focusing on the haircut, and this is just one individual.
Right.
But that's not great buzz for a, that's not great buzz for a movie when the person is focused on a haircut as opposed to the contents of the movie. So that also is sort of damning.
Right, right, right. If Wannabe Oh Boy Reed had said one for the movie where Kristen Stewart has a bad haircut, then that theater worker may have known what he was talking about. But when you just say Love Lies Bleeding, they're going to have no idea what the hell you're saying.
Not a bad haircut. Not a bad haircut. Yeah. Don't agree. I don't agree. I don't think that don't that's agree. Like a fact that it's a bad haircut.
Right. Well, you know, the public has its say. So let's move on.
It was one individual.
Got an email from Wannabe Oh Boy Jason. And I'll read the first thing that Jason asks us. Says, Love Lies Bleeding, Lisa Frankenstein, even Madame Web are period pieces with no cell phones, and they all outperformed the American society. Maybe audiences prefer no cell phones. So now this comes, of course, because last week, preview episode, you brought up the comparison of Book of Clarence versus American Society. I, of course, predicted American Society would open significantly bigger than Book of Clarence. I thought it would do 3-4 million more.
And what did it do?
And it did less. It did half. It did $1 million, basically. And Book of Clarence did like $2 million.
2.5.
And my reasoning was Book of Clarence was set in Jesus times, but not starring Jesus. It's not a church bus movie. And at least American Society was a movie set in modern times. They'd have cell phones. People would find that more palatable. So yeah, Wannabe Oh Boy Jason saying that the lack of cell phones is a plus, you know, and he's citing some bombs. He's citing something like Lisa Frankenstein, but it did open to more money than American Society. So what do you think? Is he onto something? Do people not want cell phones represented?
I do think that there may be a movement towards movies that don't have cell phones in them just because young people have only known cell phones. That's all they know. It's such a big part of their life. It's a all-consuming part of their life. And I think once they see a life without it, it's sort of an escape. They can go back to a time that they never lived in. They were not alive for, where you didn't have this anxiety-inducing object in your pocket. And I do think there is some credence to this. Now, he did, like you said, mention some bombs, but I think if a really great movie comes out that doesn't have cell phones and does Bafa Bobo. I mean, Oppenheimer didn't have cell phones. That's a huge hit.
Right.
It had people would rather watch a bomb obliterate part of the earth than watch somebody text somebody.
Yeah.
So I think there is credence to this. I do think that there's going to be a movement towards entertainment not having cell phones in it just because it'll be really refreshing for young people to see that and be able to experience that world, a world that we will never experience again unless there's a huge apocalypse, Holocaust sort of situation.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I probably have to rethink my theory in that it's not so much the cell phones, but I still do think in general, people don't want to watch movies in Jesus times unless it's centered on Jesus and it is a true church bus movie. I do think there is a point in which you've gone too far into the past for it to be a movie people want to watch.
Okay.
You know, I think it's period pieces, but even as we're seeing, period pieces now mean you're going back maybe to the late 70s, you know, but you're not going back BC.
Black phone. That phone was not a cell phone, Pat.
No, you're right. But it was a phone. I do think people want to be able to communicate.
Specifically cell phones. A cell phone is not a phone, my friend. It's barely a phone.
It does other things. It does do other things.
Yeah. It does everything else better than it actually is a phone.
Yeah. No, listen, listen. You make a point. Who are the ad wizards who came up with that one is what we both want to know. Got an email here from Wannabe Oh Boy Austin. Now, Clayton, I don't know if you've read this one. This one is something that I think strikes close to home for you because Austin writes, subject line, B.O. Boys World Tour, on my knees begging. Hey, Pat and Clayton, my name is Austin, longtime listener of the podcast, second time emailer. I would love to throw a name in the hat to include on your live tour around the U.S. That would be the lovely city of Pittsburgh, PA, or any city within driving distance. You guys have inspired me and a couple of my friends so intensely that we are absolutely 100% locked in on seeing you guys live. We will be there with bells on. So let's start with that.
I mean, Yins.
And then he writes, much love from Pittsburgh, Austin. Clayton, take it away.
All right, Yins. We're going to try to get down there. I think that, you know, I do, that really lit me up. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming back to my hometown,
right,
triumphant,
right,
with a roaring crowd, you know, cheering for me in that cartoonish accent, which if we do the show, I will go full Yinzer.
Wow.
I will make Pat McAfee look like he's from
Bensonhurst. From my neck of the woods.
Yeah. I will go full Yinzer. That would be amazing. If we could get enough people from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to come to a B.O. Boys show. I mean, I would say maybe not this tour, right? Not this tour, but next tour.
I mean,
we hit Pittsburgh for sure.
We hit Pittsburgh. We get the B.O. Boys terrible towels, hand those out.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine, Clayton, returning to your hometown? You come out to do what is now, you know, world famous intro.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're waving the towels. Oh, man.
They're waving the terrible towels with, you know, with our logo on them.
I mean, you're really. That would blow my mind. I mean, we do have to make that happen. We do have to make that happen.
Yeah. So.
And it's going to be after we win the Super Bowl, because this year, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, we're winning a Super Bowl. So, you know,
wow.
Maybe one of them comes with their Super Bowl ring.
Well, you'd have to get past my gents in the Super Bowl.
Not going to be too tough.
Eli's going to come out of retirement. But listen, we're not sports talk radio, huh? We are the B.O. Boys. But yeah, Austin, I knew this would light a fire under Clayton. And here's the thing. We may not be coming to Pittsburgh this year. I mean, we'll talk about it in BOHQ. You know, we're going to run the numbers here. But we are... You know, we're doing the LA show October 8th. That's probably a little far to travel from Pittsburgh. But, you know, New York and Boston, we're still looking for dates and venues there. But those are going to be cities we will be doing in the fall. And listen, Clayton got himself from Pittsburgh to New York way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think if you're a Pittsburgh listener and we don't end up doing a Pittsburgh stop this fall, you know, Boston, New York, those are gettable from Pittsburgh. You could do it.
Yeah.
But it's a possibility. I mean, I would love to see you in your hometown environment.
Oh, it would be great. Kissing babies, waving terrible towels, handing out chipped ham sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Jumbo sandwiches, chipped ham sandwiches, just to all the fans in line waiting for our show, our sold out show in the Berg. It's got to happen.
Do we stop by the
per Manny Brothers,
your old high school,
and
per Manny Brothers,
my old high school?
Yeah,
doesn't exist anymore.
Wow, as it shouldn't.
They bulldozered it. And they salted the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't happen to then, on top of that, build a theater that would be a perfect size for live podcast events.
I wish.
Yeah. Because that would be full circle if on the bulldozed grounds of your high school, you did an episode of the BO Boys.
That would be so amazing.
That would be amazing. All right. Well, thank you, Austin, for putting that out there. So possibly Pittsburgh, but I think start looking into the cost of, maybe a Greyhound ticket back and forth to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the way to go. Yeah, I think those are the emails that we need to go through here. So I say let's do it. Let's give our weekend predictions.
Yeah.
Our top fives. Would you like to go first or second, Clayton?
I'll go first.
All right, do it.
Okay. I think, number one, Ghostbusters Frozen Kingdom. I think this is a slam dunk, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of just feel 44.
Wow.
I just think it's the last two movies have opened around that.
Yep.
I think that's a good sort of opening for this movie. So number one is Ghostbusters with 44. I think Kung Fu Panda 4 maintains its reign over Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Not by much, though. I do think that it has another great hold. Because again, like I said, Kung Fu Panda 4 is for very, very little kids. Ghostbusters is more for adults or childish grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think Kung Fu Panda is probably going to make, I could see this dropping in like 20 or 30%. Like I could see something like that. So somewhere in the 20s.
Okay.
And Dune Part 2 is going to be right behind it. Then I think, you know, I'm thinking Immaculate can make it to 4 because Arthur the King is going to just go down.
Yes.
Even more. Imaginary is going to lose everything just because Chauncey ain't no star. Sidney Sweeney's a star.
Yep.
Cabrini's dead. So I'm going to go because of the viral tweet by Ben Salami.
Oh, I love this.
Love Lies Bleeding. Number 5.
Wow. So you think it hops over Imaginary and Cabrini?
I think so. I think Imaginary is just going to eat shit. Chauncey's going to eat shit next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Chauncey would have to eat shit literally in a viral marketing stunt in order to get any more awareness for that film.
There's still time.
There's still time, Chauncey the Bear. Okay. So love that top 5.
Thank you.
I'm going to go Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is going to be number one.
Slam dunk.
I think it'll do 47.
Okay.
I think it'll do a little better than the last one. Afterlife came out in, you know, COVID-y box office time. So I think some of the oldsters who love Ghostbusters maybe didn't go to that one, but it'll go to this one. Yeah, I agree. It'll do about what these movies do right now. There's no added element that's going to make this blow out the last one. I don't see why this would hit 50.
Yeah. So we definitively think that the cold element does not really add anything to it, but it doesn't detract from it.
No, it doesn't detract from it. And I think the draw here, or the thing that will keep the franchise steady, is Bill Murray being more engaged in the promotion.
And
I think
Paul Rudd being charming.
Steady. Yeah. So I think that opens at number 147. I'm going to flip-flop, and I think this is the week that Dune Part 2 hops over Kung Fu Panda 4. I mean, they were neck and neck last weekend.
So close.
They were 2 million apart, and Dune Part 2 had a better hold from its previous week. So I do think it nudges out Kung Fu Panda 4. So Dune 2 is number 2. Kung Fu Panda 4 is number 3.
Okay.
I agree with you. Number 4 is going to be immaculate, and I think it gets itself to $10 million.
Okay, that was the thing that I didn't give a number. I think this is going to be 7. 7 is heaven.
Okay. Wow. So here's the thing. You want to get nuts? I don't think I really
get
nuts then. I would say I didn't get nuts because I'm only predicting it to do 3 million more than you did. We both think this is going to overperform the pathetic promotion from Neon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, listen, going through Sydney Sweeney's Instagram grid was eye-opening. She's promoting this movie. So I think that gets a 10 million. Number 5, God, I don't want to say Chauncey and Imaginary is going to be 5, but...
It's the sort of rational one to go with. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts.
Let's get nuts. Bob Marley, One Love is going to be number 5. Let's get nuts. You wanted to get nuts. I got nuts.
Whoa. Okay. That is nuts.
That's nuts.
So you think One Love is going to go over 100 mil?
Yes, I do. I do think too. So.
I think not much over, but it does go over.
Yeah. I think Paramount wants to get it there, and I think they'll get it there.
Good. And obviously it's not going to happen this weekend, but it's on the trajectory to do that, especially if it ends up at number 5.
Theaters. Yeah. So there you go. There's our predicted top 5. It's going to be an interesting weekend. I'm so curious to see if the Ghostbusters fan base is as steady as we think it is. And maybe if there's some element we're missing that makes this blow out and get to $50 or $60 million. I don't think it's there, but we'll see.
Now, Pat, we're going a little long, so I don't want to, you know, lengthen this, but is there any chance this thing underperforms? I mean, I think we've both sort of just been really bullish on this, that it's going to make as much as the last one, but is it possible this thing makes like 29 or 30?
Man, it could. People seem to like the last one. The audience scores were good. The Rotten Tomato scores were good. So I don't think the franchise is turning anyone off right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anything they've done is a big negative. And we're post-superhero, so there is an affinity for big movies that are not superhero movies, even mm-hmm. though this is also just, you know, blatant nostalgia and IP. But it somehow feels more pure than a Madam Web. So in general, I think the public has good feelings for a movie like this. So mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if it bombed. I mean, definitely if this movie does 30 million, then it's really bad, you know? And I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, the thing that could hurt it is if people are just like only wanting to see Dune 2 and Kung Fu Panda 4 this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's still, I don't think the Ghostbusters generation has died yet.
No.
You know, that's pretty much it. I think they are alive, and so they'll go.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. So email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Love getting your emails. Love reading them on air, as you could see. Follow us on social media at @theboboyspod on Twitter X and on TikTok. WannaBO senior intern Christopher killing it with the clips there. And of course, his services are still up for grabs for summer and fall internship. So, you know, get in on the bidding process and see if you could snag Christopher for that. Of course, WannaBO junior intern Jack killing it on the Substack with his 2 articles a week. Just great job there, Jack. Of course, we have our spinoff show, the BO Boys Kirk Exclusive, on the Kirk Minahan Network on YouTube. So go watch that. The interview that we did with Ben Salami the photographer who took the iconic photo of the drunk guy who jacked himself off to sleep at Love Lies Bleeding. Important, important interview. Mm-hmm. It's only on the Kirk Minahan network right now. So you got to go watch it there because it's the only place where we could take the caution tape and take the caution tape off and really cover an important story like that the way mm-hmm. it needs to be covered. Mm-hmm. So go watch that there. Of course, the BO Boys YouTube channel of our own is out there, and we've got full episodes of the show there. So go subscribe to the BO Boys YouTube channel. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you haven't rated us yet, go do so. Leave a review. And that's about it, Clayton. I got nothing else. Do you have any? There's nothing left to say, right?
There can't be. There can't be. No. Except for, until next time.
Well,
smooth.